I was praying and this week, and I really felt the Lord just put something in my spirit. I couldn't literally let it go. I wanted to move on to something different. But in our talks about authority, I really felt like the Lord just wanted to impress something about the royal priesthood. Now, this, you know, I'm going to leave, we leave with my last point, so this will be great. It's found in Revelation chapter 1, verses 5 through 6. Okay? This is the royal priesthood. So what the Lord was speaking to me was the importance of the order of the house. Now, an order of, what I'm speaking about is your personal house, your home, where you live with your kids, your family, your work, your job, everything you do. But I just really felt like this pull about the order of the house. And it starts with first that we're a royal priesthood. This is what God calls us to. That meaning that he's entrusted to us the responsibility to bring our house into an alignment in a way that God looks at it and says, amen to that. Bless that. I'm going to bless that thing. That's the power of order. That's really the power of alignment and of authority. It's when God looks at it and says, man, I can bless that. I can add some sauce to that. That's a good thing. I can add some fuel to this. This can grow. You know, when God looks at something, he can amp it up. It's first at Revelation 1, 5 through 6. It says, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful and trustworthy witness, the firstborn of the dead, first to be brought back to life, and the prince, ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who ever loves us and has once for all loosed and freed us from our sins by his own blood and formed us into a kingdom, a royal race, priests to his God and Father to him, be the glory and power and the majesty and the dominion throughout the ages and forever and ever. Again, in Revelation 5:10, it says, and you have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. So we're not becoming a king and priest. We are currently kings and priests. So there is a very real spiritual authority to our houses, to our physical homes, and the assembly of our family together. There's a real spiritual authority to that. There's a spiritual power that you have over your home. And I just felt pricked in my heart to not leave this on the table and just come back to it another time. I thought we need to tackle this right now because we have a place that we're charged to be stewards over, right? And the Bible calls us kings and priests. That living room chair that you have, that's, you know, your throne isn't in the bathroom, your throne's in the living room, right? Your throne is there. That's where you should sit and you have peace. That should be like your resting place. Like you can go anywhere else in the world, but when you come back to your house, that should be your place where you find peace. You know, the devil, he wants you to have peace anywhere but your living room. It's the one place that he says, if I can take your peace from that living room, I can completely disrupt your life. Your peace in your living room is what you have to guard. And the Bible calls us, you're a king and a priest. That means that this is our job to tend that place. It is our job to call our home into order in a way that we are at rest in our own houses. I do a lot of traveling, do a lot of driving, but when I come home, there's no place like home. There's no place like just being there and you can just, it's like you can breathe again. That's what it's supposed to be to us. So I want to give some scriptural background of the authority of the house. This is referenced in the Old Testament, and it's Exodus chapter 12, verses 21 through 24. So I'm going to use a couple terms synonymously, so kind of give me a little bit of grace. The authority of the house and the spiritual covering of your house. Your house is like an umbrella, and it covers people. There are people who may come into your house, and when they come in there, they were sad, they were depressed, or whatever. But when they came into your house, there was just a place of security. All of our houses are supposed to be that way. That if someone comes in from without, if they come in, they can find peace there. The Old Testament, Exodus chapter 12, verse 21 through 24, it says, then Moses called for the elders of Israel and said to them, go and take for yourselves lambs according to your families. Lambs according to your families. He said, go get your sacrifice in accordance with your family. Remember, we're talking about the authority or spiritual covering of your household. and slay the Passover lamb. You shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood which is in the basin, and apply some of the blood that is in the basin to the lintel or to the two doorposts. So remember, it's not the blood in the bucket that has power to save. It's the blood that gets applied. You know, there is a saving grace of Jesus, but the saving grace, his blood, must be applied to a specific area. The bucket won't do it. Did he die for everyone? Absolutely. Will everyone come and live born again in heaven? No. Because the blood has to be applied to a heart. There has to be a conscious decision to say, I am in sin, or I have sinned, and I need your blood to wash me. I need to apply that blood over my heart. Without the application of the blood on the hearts of the guys at the OC today, they will spend an eternity away from the Father. They can say, I've known God my whole life. But until they say, I need the blood, come and wash me. That is the point that the blood goes on the doorposts of the heart. And you know, that's the first picture of the cross, the up, down, wave. Like that. That's the first cross in the Bible. Look at this. And none of you shall go outside the door of his house until morning. So the blood of Jesus created a spiritual covering for the family. You know who went and got those goats? Got those lambs or whatever? The parents. Did the kids go rowdy up to chase some goats? I'm sure that would have been fun to watch. But I can see Amari. It's a Raj trying to chase a goat. You know, like... probably not. So that means that the parents went and got a victory on behalf of their children. That mom and dad went and they got this goat and they got it ready for however that looked in that day. But because of their decision, their family lived in a covering. Their obedience brought a spiritual covering to their children. Verse 23, for the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when he sees the blood on the lintel of the doorpost, the Lord will pass over that door and will not allow the destroyer to come to your houses to smite you. And you shall observe this as an ordinance for you and your children forever. So what was happening? There was a judgment being released. And the judgment was going everywhere. But the same judgment that would have fallen on the Egyptians for oppressing Israel would have fallen on Israel for their disobedience. There was no difference in judgment. Had Israel not obeyed, had they not done that blood on the doorpost, the same judgment that fell on the world would have fallen on God's people. It requires us to, as a covering over our own families, to have acts of obedience with the Lord. That thing, our wins with God and our failures with God, our kids can feel it. Our families can feel it. People you oversee can feel it. Your victory matters. Your private, personal victory has influence over people. This is why we're slow to put anyone in authority, because their personal victories matter. Their personal decisions matter over those who they give charge over. Look at Luke chapter 22, verses 31 through 34. You know, speaking of someone giving charge over another, this is Jesus' authority over Simon Peter. He says, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demanded permission to sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you. You know, I just give thanks whenever I need Angie, I have like a big thing I'm like needing to get an answer for. There are times when I call Angie and I pray, or I say, can you pray for me? And she says, okay. She doesn't pray for me on the phone. She just hangs up. And you know, it's way less comforting. But I know she goes and she prays.
She puts everything on pause.
And then we see things and it moves. And I've seen it again and again. I'm like, man, I really should have called a lot sooner. You know? And I thought, wow, that just the Lord moves something on my behalf because she prayed over me. She's praying for me. She's thinking about me. And I saw it. I thought, oh my goodness. So Jesus tells Peter, Satan demanded to sift you like wheat. So Jesus, as a covering for Peter, says, I saw that Satan was coming at you. He could see it. Peter didn't know it, but Jesus could see the enemy is coming at his life. And Jesus said, I prayed for you. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail, and you, when once you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. But he said to him, Lord, with you I am ready to go both to prison and to death. Verse 34, and he said, I say to you, Peter, the rooster will not crow today until you have denied me three times that you know me. So Peter's like, no way, Jesus, I'm good. I'm not going to deny you. He's so zealous, right? And Jesus is like, Peter, the rooster won't even crow before you deny me three times. This is what you do for your kids. As priests of your home, you pray for them. Sometimes their attitude is kind of like Peter's. Like, it's just kind of this gung-ho. I'm going to do what I want. This is what I'm doing. And as parents, as a household, giving umbrella those in our trust and our care, we pray for them. We pray for them. For the enemy, what the enemy desires to do through a prayer covering pushes it back. Through a prayer covering says, no way. That you can see it. You'll see it in the workplace. You'll see it other places. Places where you're given charge. You can see the enemy coming in. You say, absolutely not. This is our call as parents. This is our call for even when we show hospitality. We take other brothers or sisters into our house. You can see when you're taking care of them that, man, the enemy is coming after them. And as a parent, as a covering in your own home, as a royal priesthood, you can stand in opposition to that. Yeah, spiritual covering in the home, the authority of the house, it's also, Jesus references it in Luke 10. It says, whatever house you enter, first say, peace be to this house. If a man of peace is there, your peace will rest on him. If not, it will return to you. Stay in that house, eating and drinking what I give to you, for your labor is worthy of his wages. Do not keep moving from house to house. Jesus was recognizing the authority that is on a house. One of the best things, I want to call you to do this. If you haven't done this before, I want to call you to do it. Go stand at the front door of your house. Me and Caleb have done this. Open your physical front door. And just say, Holy Spirit, come into my house. Invite the Lord into your dwelling. As a priest, as a royal priesthood, invite God. Say, God, this is my house. You're welcome here. Fill my house. Especially kids have bad dreams. Tell you like that I'm having night terrors, or people, they wake up in the night and can't get settled, or they can't get their body to wake up, but they're awake in their head. It's tormenting, right? Like it's like horrible. You're like, it feels torturous, right? And so night terrors, just invite the Holy Spirit into your house. Invite him in. If you are privately seeking after Jesus, that it opens up something for our kids to encounter God. It opens up something to them, just like you could be doing something bad and then open up the door for your kid. You could do something good and it could open it up to him. Jesus recognized the authority of the house. The early church in Acts chapter 2, verse 46, day by day, continually, they were with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house. So it's that 1-2 combo. You see that all through the book of Acts. There was the temple, the gathering of believers, but then there was the house to house. And so we have to give some emphasis here that there is a lot of meetings that happened throughout the book of Acts in houses. Like house meetings were a big deal. There was the big gathering, the corporate gathering, which was about vision and direction. But without the house, you won't experience intimacy. Me and Kayla were talking about the other day, and we were talking about kind of the nature of our group. You know, we're a very intimate group, right? We get to know each other really deeply. And a lot of places where you could go to church, you don't really know people in an intimate way. You don't know their inner workings of their heart. You don't understand how they process. They're more like acquaintances, right? And that's not a bad thing. That's just the nature of it. And so because a large gathering of church is oftentimes about vision. It's about the direction we're going, or it's a very broad message. A lot of people hate Joel Osteen, but I really like Joel Osteen. You know, like he makes me happy. I can't listen to Joel Osteen and not be happy when I'm done. Like this guy's just happy all the time, you know. But he's speaking to thousands of people, and so he can't do a deep dive into a deep subject. He has to. Let's talk about the hope that is available in Jesus. Let's talk about the hope of the cross. Let's talk about the hope of life in God. Well, in community, you get to dive deep. And we have to make, we have to all each make an individual effort to dive deep. And sometimes I've watched over the past few years how our group kind of goes like this and like this over time, right? The truth is, not everyone wants an intimate connection. Not everyone wants to have the intricacies of their heart dealt with. Most people are afraid and they hide them. And they don't want to expose it because of fear. Sometimes it's fear of abuse. Sometimes it's fear from a past experience, some other church. They opened their heart to someone and they got whammed, got burned. I've been a victim of that myself. So I know what that feels like. It's very painful. I was thinking this morning when I left the church in Brownwood, you know, I was very intimately acquainted with the pastors, and I remember leaving because the Lord had called us here, and they kind of brought us up, and they prayed for us and blessed us, and we went on our way, and they kind of honored us because we had been serving there for 10 plus years. But there were things I wanted to do in that congregation that I didn't get to do. Like, I wanted to do it. And I remember just feeling so hurt that last day in my heart, just such an ache. And the pastor's wife came up to me, and she just held me. And she just began to kiss my neck right here. And I was thinking about it this morning. I was thinking, Lord, the kisses from a pastor 10 years ago are still felt today. Is there the risk of being hurt by being intimate? Absolutely. But there's also the risk of being loved. And that love sets something in you that you draw from your entire life. Those kisses ring true to me now more than ever, because I know that even though I left with a little bit of ache in my heart, I knew that it wasn't the will of those pastors. That wasn't their heart, was not to hurt anyone. They were just doing the best they knew how. But she could see it, and she perceived it in that moment. And of course, they released the song away. It's important to recognize the power of what you have available in a gathering like this. We're shopping for buildings. We're gonna do a more of a church gathering very soon. Don't neglect the house gathering. Don't neglect that thing, because that is the inner working of your heart, and that will always be our emphasis because of what it is there. That's what I've seen make disciples. It's in those quiet places. It's what where people get real and they get transparent and they do a deep dive. It happens in houses. So in the context, we're talking about spiritual authority. Can you be a safe place for someone else? Often I'm saying we're a safe place for you, but can you be a safe place for somebody? Can you be a place where they go and they say, this is what's happening in my life. I really need some help. Can you be a safe place? Or do you go and do you tout it off? Do you message someone? Do you tell me when I don't need to know? Like, I don't need to know the details of people's life unless they want me to know the details of their life. I don't need to know. Like, can you be that place? Somebody needs you to be that place. Somebody needs your house. Somebody needs help, y'all, for real. Like, somebody needs what you have. We have been given so much. We've been entrusted so much, and someone needs our care. Someone needs your kisses to heal their wounds. Someone needs your comfort for the brokenhearted. You know, someone's suffering loss. Someone's lost a job. Someone's fallen. Someone's lost a loved one. People are in dire need of the royal priesthood, of the body of Christ, of you guys. Like, people are in deep need. It's why Erica leads people to the Lord at work, because that's how bad they need him. Like, their need has drifted over into the open. And now you can see that they are broken people functioning in the workplace, and they're just trying to hold it together. Like, they need us, man. They need us more now, more in a level that's so far beyond than we know. Practicing hospitality. Your house is a place of spiritual authority. In Acts 2:46, you know, the reference is they recognize the authority of the home. They met house to house. The home is a spiritual battleground that we must win. Not we need to win. No, we've got to win. We must win. Each of our homes, we must win that place. People, I've watched in over 2 decades of people in church. People leave churches over these topics. It's not money. It's not parenting. It's not whatever hot topic, social issues. It's over these last 3 weeks of authority. Like it is such a deep inner battle. But you know why? Because we're dealing with the will of men. We're dealing with the will of people. The home is a battleground that we've got to go after. And whether you believe that your home is a spiritual battleground or not, the devil does. He believes it's a place. Look at Matthew chapter 12, verse 43 through 45. Now, when the unclean spirit goes out of a man, it passes through waterless places, seeking rest. It does not find it. Then it says, I will return to my house. What does the enemy say? Your house is my house. Like, he's a bully. He wants in your place. He wants in your refuge. He wants your peace. He says, that's my house. It says, when an unclean spirit is cast out of a man, it says that he goes to waterless places seeking rest, looking for a place. Well, where's the place of rest? It's your living room. And the Bible says, he comes back. I want back in my house. And you have to make a decision. Will I allow the enemy to take residence in our house, or will I not? You have to fight for your home. 2 John 1 verse 10, if anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your house. So we have to recognize when the enemy can't lure us with like a spirit or a temptation, he often will send a person, because we may not receive, you know, what's obviously wrong into our house, but we're often will receive an individual. So you got to know, as parents, you've got to, and as a priest of your home, you know, if you just have a room, you're a priest of your room, you guard what comes into your place. You know, Jonathan is a priest over his room. Like, he has to guard what comes in there. What am I going to bring into that place? Joel has whatever you're given a charge of authority over, that is, you're a priest over that. And you guard what passes through. Setting that in order. So the charge to a royal priesthood is to establish the order of the Lord for your house. How do you keep the enemy out? How do you keep him out of your marriage? How do you keep him out of your kids' lives? It's setting our house in order. It's 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 4 through 5. This is speaking about someone who desires to be an overseer in the church, which I would say that all of us should desire those things. We should desire leadership. We should desire growth. We should desire to minister in whatever place of ministry within the church, in the body, and outside the church in the field. Like, we should aspire to do those things, whether it be full-time or just as part of your life in Jesus. It says he must manage his own household well, keeping his children under control with all dignity, keeping them respectful and well-behaved. Verse 5, for if a man does not know how to manage his own household, how will he take care of the church of God? So, School of Ministry 101, ready? It's taking care of your own household. Managing our own kids. I'm not thinking about, oh man, what have my kids done lately? You know, thinking like, what did they do? Did they knock anything over this morning? But that's coaching. The reason being is because the virtues that you develop in managing your kids are the same virtues that you need to manage the household of God, is what he's saying. Is your ability as a parent to teach temperance, because kids don't inherently have temperance, but to teach them temperance, coach them temperance, model temperance, that's the same muscles that you're going to use in your office or in your workplace or in your ministry or whatever your place of leadership is. It's the same muscles. It's the same thing. So the Lord says, this is where it starts. Bill Johnson, who's an amazing leader, he says, the light that shines the farthest shines the brightest at home. Home is the place of revival. Home is the place of a move of God. Home is the place where everything happens. If there's a problem in my house, it gets felt out here. If there's a problem in my house, it gets felt out there. But if there's revival in my house, it gets felt here. If there's love in our house, it gets felt here. And I'll tell you, it's a process of learning. It's a walk of maturity, learning how to manage your own household because of what comes out of you. That is where we're all called to start. Your royal priesthood is cultivating the Spirit of the Lord inside of your house. Watch your kids. Watch what's coming out of them. Watch the tone of how people talk to each other. There should be a softness in our voice. There should be a tenderness. There should be a mercy, a grace towards one another in our home. This is where it starts. Order the home. You know, it's found in the book of Ephesians, but I want to highlight a couple points and to take out of this. And I would call husbands to love their wives when they're not lovable. And wives respect their husbands when they're not respectable. For us guys, that's what we're called to do, is there'll be a time when our wives are not lovable. And the Bible calls us to love them in those moments. You know, most of this chapter, everyone says, you know, husbands love your wives, women respect your husband, and that kind of just move on. But it's loving when they're not lovable. That's what makes this true. And for wives, it's respecting when they're not respectable. It's always giving what's not deserved. You know, if you want the love that you don't deserve, give the respect that he doesn't deserve. If you want the respect that you don't deserve, give the love that she doesn't deserve. Making those trades is how me and Kayla have to do it. Because I sure as heck don't deserve it quite often. But she gives it when I don't deserve it. And I have a choice, choose to. There are times when she doesn't deserve love. And I remember that I don't deserve respect. And so I give it whenever she doesn't deserve it. That is a harmony in the household. That is a way of life that is healthy. The Bible says Christ is the head of man and man the head of woman. What that means is that there's an order of having a submissive spirit. So as guys, our call is to model a submissive spirit. So if man is the head of woman, that means we're the first to obey. That means we obey quickly. We model it quickly, Jonathan. That we model obey quickly to obey, to hear the Lord. That means if there's an argument happening, you're the first to say sorry. If there's a problem, you're the first to say, yeah, I probably shouldn't have done that. I had to do it yesterday. I was, you know, me and Kayla, Kayla was being snappy with the kids, and I was getting on to Kayla. Like, Kayla, you can't be snappy with the kids. And I was kind of like shooting back, but I said it in the wrong tone. I said it in a really aggressive, mean tone. And I said, you know, we let him down. I said, yeah, I'm sorry. I shouldn't talk like that. It's not the answer. Yeah, forgive me. I'm just kind of boring. You know? But that's the privilege that guys have. You know, if we want to take the, we're the head. It means you're the first down. You're the first to embrace a submissive spirit. It's our job to cultivate a submissive spirit in the house. Likewise, there is a submissive spirit that should flow in wives, in our bride, in women. That should flow in that. And it's modeled in husband. And together, they both model a submissive spirit to their kids. A submissive spirit is chief in managing your household. If your household is like fireworks all the time, like I'm not saying we don't get upset about things when we're living together. Obviously, we can get on each other's nerves. You know, sometimes we're just skipping around and Jonathan is sitting at the table and he's doing this. And I'm listening to this drum beat for like 20 minutes. And then finally, you just kind of go off. You're like, stop hitting the table. Right? Because it just got on your nerves for 20 minutes. And then finally you just explode. Right? I'm sorry, but my kids are the only one that did weird stuff. Yeah, it's not bad. But what I'm saying is this submissiveness that comes back. I probably shouldn't talk to you that way. I'm sorry, Jonathan. That's a submissive spirit. And we have to model it. If our kids don't ever see us do it, I'm not saying be a pushover. There's a difference between having a submissive spirit and being a pushover. It's not what I'm saying. But there's a submissive spirit. What a submissive spirit means, I recognize that I'm not in line with the Lord. It's in the fear of the Lord. That's what we're doing. It's saying, okay, I shouldn't have done this. And you're reverencing God in that moment. And your kids, or your husband, or your wife, they see you reverencing God. When they see you reverencing God, that's what teaches the lesson. Our kids learn a lot in our failures. That's how they see it. They need to see it, what it looks like when we fail. We have to learn to become faithful in this. And for those that are wanting husbands in the room, you will attract someone in like faithfulness that you have. Like your faithfulness that you walk out in your life, that's what you're gonna bring into your life. It's a natural thing. It's gonna attract to each other. That's a good thing. Or guys, you're looking for wives, you know, and not right now, but it will attract in the right moment, right? Joel, you can get married this year. We can pray for you. But you're gonna attract in like faithfulness. In the way, he's like, nope, absolutely not. If you change your mind, we'll pray for you. We got a gift. Disagreement, how we handle disagreements with the Lord. It doesn't mean you'll always come into agreement, but you should come to peace. Agreement and peace are two different things, right? We should be able to land somewhere and be at peace. When I first felt the call to go to Reynosa, Caleb did not feel that at all. Right? And so Christ is the head of the home. Man, God the head of man. I picked up on it first. It's not about I'm lording authority over you. I mean, I'm the first on my face. And I would charge guys, if your wife is outrunning you to the ground, be challenged and outrun her back. Like, let there be a fight to the ground. I don't care. Like, go after the Lord more. Joyce Meyer, y'all know Joyce Meyer, right? She is a strong personality. She's a strong ministry gift. But you know, her husband is the head. He boldly walks as the head of their home. He's the head of that ministry. You know, the Joyce Meyer Ministries. You know, Pastor Jack, husband of Peggy Joyce Ruth, he used to call himself, I'm Mr. Peggy Joyce Ruth. Uh-huh. Because his wife was a hit, and she was on Sid Roth and sending books all over the world, and no one knew who he was, but the people locally did. And he would call himself, I'm Mr. What's your name? I'm Mr. Peggy Joyce Ruth. He would name himself after his wife, kind of being funny. But Jack was in charge. And Jack could hear the Lord like nobody's business, like, I mean, just a prophet of the Lord. He could just hear God so clearly. And there should be a challenge. Like, can there be high ministry gifts as a wife? Absolutely. But my call to the guy who's not the Joyce Meyer is, no, she may be stronger in public, but you can dive deep in the presence of God yourself. And I would call men to go deeper, go deeper, go deeper. When I heard the Lord on Reynosa, Kayla was like, I don't see it. There's a level 5, do not travel. Government websites says, do not come here. Like, there's levels like, reconsider, you should think about this. Then it's, don't come. And the government says, don't come. Because of the amount of carjackings, the amount of kidnapping, the amount of crime, the site says, don't come. So Kayla, I think we're supposed to go. I don't see it. You know, taking a hard directional turn with your family and not being in agreement can really allow the devil to rob the peace of your home. Remember, that's what we're talking about, the authority of the home, and the battlefield is over that peace. So when we come in disagreement, what happens? Like, we have to be able to pray together with the Lord. It doesn't mean we're going to land on the same page, but we can land on the same peace. And that's what Kayla did. She didn't agree. She thought, no, I think this is the Lord. We need to step towards this. And she's like, no, I don't think it is. You know, and we kind of just let it sit for a while. It's like, let's just kind of put this on the back burner. Right? Or let's just kind of set it down. And we came to the same peace. And in time, the Lord confirmed it to her. Said, yep, that's it. And then we moved together easily. Fight for that peace. Push for that peace. Don't go to sleep. Bible says, don't go to sleep angry. If you got a problem with someone in your house, like, don't go to sleep with the problem still alive. Like, put that problem out before you go to bed. Because there's such a mercy in the morning. When you sleep and you wake up in the morning, it's like you get a reset button. The Bible says, Lamentations, his mercies are new every morning. Put it out before you go to bed. Land on peace. And when we talked about coming to El Paso, we had never been here once in our entire life. But we knew that's what the Lord said. And once we landed on peace, we knew, now we can go. We didn't have all the answers, but we landed on, I don't feel bad, I just feel like it's going to be okay. And we would make major life decisions that way. And we still do. So we're talking about priesthood of believers, the authority of our home. What about our kids? Matthew chapter 23, verse 11 says, but the greatest among you will be your servant. Parents, we're called to be role models. Like, we should model zeal for the house of the Lord. We should model zeal for the home gatherings. We should model that thing for God, like going after it. Like, I watch kind of Audrey, and I listen to her sometimes during worship, and I just can hear her singing, holy, holy. And, you know, I was like way off key. And I was like, mine's any better. And she's like, holy, but I can hear her. Or I'll walk through the house and I'll just start singing Waymaker. And then Audrey will chime in, Waymaker! And she'll just jump in with us. Or we're driving down the road and we're looking at property. And I just will belt out, it's your breath in my lungs. And Audrey will go, it's your breath in my lungs. So we pour out our praise. Right? Your zeal for God should be out of this world in your house. If you want to be timid here, fine. But in your house, you should be loud and proud. Let your voice go. Let your kids hear you. Our kids hear Kayla like you would not believe. Ringing through that house. I'm telling you, your kids should hear the sound of your love for the Lord. You should annoy your kids with the sound of your love for the Lord. Like, drive them wild. As long as they're under your roof, they should be hearing, it's your breath! In my lungs. And they're like, Mom, are you going to really sing that every morning? Yes. It's your breath in my lungs. Absolutely. Like, let it ring out. Praise is a weapon, and you take dominion over your house with it. When your praise goes out, because if you have joy, the Bible says our praise, that his throne is established on the praises of his people. So we praise the Lord in our house. We're saying, let the kingdom of God come in this place. Let the kingdom of God dwell here. God, your kingdom is in charge. You know, it's really hard to watch bad things on TV when you're singing, it's your breath in my lungs. It's really hard to play things you're not supposed to be playing. Video games you're not supposed to be playing. When there's the sound of praises in the house or watching something you shouldn't be watching. Because the kids, I don't know how it works, but the kids can hear the sound of it's your breath in my lungs. They think, watch something else. Do something else. Be a model. Demonstrate faithfulness. Be there. Show up. If your kids watch you, live on feelings, they will live by feelings. If they watch you bounce back and forth, your kids will bounce back and forth. It will happen. Look, you know, if you study the story of Eli and his sons in the 1 Samuel, I think like 1 and 2. Early chapters, like 1 Samuel 1 through, maybe 1 through 4. Eli had some wicked sons. He was a priest, but he was passive. A passive priest produces wickedness. His sons were sleeping with the women at the gates. They were doing some wicked stuff, man, and they all went down. Like, it was a bad deal. You know? It wasn't good. So the Lord doesn't like passivity. And God gives us that example to teach us. Hey, tighten it up. No condemnation. But God's kind of like, all right, let's tighten it up a little bit. Let's lead our house well. There's the matter of our money. Obviously, we did a big talk about earlier this year. We lead in tithing, giving, generosity, practice frugality. You know, demonstrate that to your kids. They should see it. That should be a no-brainer. Pursuit after the heart of God. Let your kids see you. Go after the poor. Expose your kids. Do whatever it takes to expose your kids to the anointing. If there's a powerful speaker in town, or you get the chance, when we went to Africa, we had so many people that were not pleased with us. You know, we were going, some people were excited. Other people were very upset that we would take our children to Africa, that they could be harmed, or that something could happen, or that we wouldn't come back, you know. But for 2.5 months, they got to sit at Howdy Baker's feet and Roland Baker's feet.
We have a picture
of them. Yeah, they have a picture with them, that's right. But sitting there, I'm gonna tell you, pay any price for your kids to experience the anointing. Do whatever is necessary. Get them in the anointing. Get them in the anointing. Get in early, early, early. As a parent, do anything. You know, people roll their eyes at us again and again and again. Oh, you guys, oh, you guys. Rolling their eyes. Endure the rolling eyes. Endure whatever it is. Say, hey, I know you're not really into this right now, but just, if you'll come with me today, I know you'll be blessed. I know God will do it. Won't you come? Go. Drive to the meeting. Get to the revival meeting. Get to Hobbs. Get to whatever. Get to whatever's going on. Like, find a way to get them to yes, church, but I'm talking about, but like, citywide, national giftings of God that are on people. And get them exposed to those gifts. I remember one picture of Jonathan early on where he was sitting with Heidi, and I caught it on camera and I shot it. And I've got it somewhere in my house. I think it was on the fridge. But Heidi was talking on the mic and all the kids are sitting with her. I remember Jonathan was just looking at Heidi, and he was completely captivated with what she was saying. And I caught the picture of it. I thought, that was worth this entire trip to me. Do whatever it takes. Expose your kids to the anointing. Pray for them. Ask the Lord for wisdom. If you don't know how, ask Him. The Lord will tell you. The Lord will show you. The Lord will show you what step to take. Maybe it seems impossible now. Maybe it seems too late now. It's not too late. It's never too late. While our kids are near us, we have an opportunity to reach them in a way that we don't reach them the same. Like, I'm here. My parents are in Comanche. They're 10 hours away from me right now. Like, they love me and they care for me, but their reach to try to pull me into something that they're a part of, yeah, it's very limited, right? So I'm telling you, ask the Lord. Ask Him and He'll show you. Set the tone early with this. I really feel like the Lord's calling us into this. These topics of authority are really, they can make or break a believer, and or they'll at least kind of find out where they're at in the Lord. Be it, you know, what was the early one? It was the authority. We just talked about spiritual authority within the church, right? A lot of those topics can really make people go one way or another. This is kind of like that too. The authority of the house, what you do with this. This, it will send you and your kids one way or another. It's a sharp word. I try to share it as tenderly as I can, but it's truth. You have to lead your household well. You have to give charge over that living room. You have to give charge over your own children. Will you play a role in exposing them to the Lord? Will you play a role in bringing them in deeper? Will you do those things? Will you sing to the Lord in your house? Those types of things. That's what the Lord's calling us to. It's called the priesthood. The priesthood of all believers. And this is for everyone. We talked about how the church is a spiritual covering. This is where you are the church. And this is how it extends into the home, that you are a covering. You are an authority. That means you are a force in the earth. Use your house to bring people to Jesus. Use your home. Take in someone that couldn't come in otherwise. Maybe, who was that boy that came with us that one time treasure hunting? Joel?
Brian.
Brian. there's a covering there, you know? Just kind of lost everywhere else, but when he's here, like, things just, like, perspective hits. That's, I was thinking about him. I've had him on my, that's a powerful thing, guys. I'm telling you, if you'll pursue this and use it, the Lord really bless you. I want to pray for us. I want to pray for us a little bit. Let's take a couple minutes. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray, Father, over these past few weeks, Lord, I've just really felt like instruction. I haven't really felt a lot of some of the ministry that we've done in the past. I've just felt like this is like a big counseling session, Lord. I pray, Father, that that your word would just go deep, Lord God. I've done my best just to convey what I believe you say about order in our house and order in our families. Father, I ask you, Lord God, that you would just quicken us by your Holy Spirit, God, to lead godly homes, lead godly households, to raise our children in the admonition of the Lord. God, to live lives that would attract a faithful spouse to us, Lord God, that would attract who you have for us, God. God, I pray that we would just step up another level. Let us go up another notch, Lord. Let this topic not push us away, but let us step close. It is a line in the sand that we have to cross and say, do we want to go deeper? Do we want to know you more? And that is to bring you into our house, Father. God, I thank you, Lord, for your presence this morning, even during worship. God, I pray that that presence would only increase inside of our houses. In Jesus' name, amen, guys.